This is the Our Inheritance podcast, where we focus on stories about climate solutions. We explore different pathways to a future where we not only put less carbon into our atmosphere, but where we actually begin to draw down that amount to a level that is sustainable for all life on Earth. My name is Emma, and in this episode, we'll explore solar water pumping as a climate change solution. Water. It is essential to sustaining life as we understand it. Any running water is an integral part of the lives of many. So integral that we may not fully appreciate just how enormously instrumental it is in supporting many aspects of contemporary living. Due to this, water infrastructure is a high priority for areas that lack it. The need for running water is great, and the procurement of these systems is inevitable, if slow-moving, in developing nations. To find out more, I jumped on a call with Hindolo Pokawa.
So I'm Hindolo Pokawa, founder and executive director of Sierra Leone Foundation for New Democracy. We are looking at alternatives to democratic processes that support human life, specifically around education, specifically around the environment, and social enterprises. So those are three broad areas where we operate. To be specific with my involvement with clean energy, both in Minneapolis or in the U.S. and here in Sierra Leone, comes from a long interest in looking at alternatives.
Hindolo's work in Sierra Leone has made him an expert on the country and its issues. Here's what he had to say about Sierra Leonean water infrastructure.
The infrastructure on water itself, being in the city, is not strong. The lane of pipes and faucets and changing in a maintenance culture does not exist in terms of those infrastructure that is needed. You will know that the pipe is going to break or going to get rust. You should change it so that you don't. People are not drinking water full of rust, which can then lead to lead poisoning and all that kind of stuff. So that does not exist. You have pipes cut all over the place. And of course, because of the structure of housing, people are building all over the place. So on top of those hills where you have houses built, there's no water getting up there at all, because there's no infrastructure to allow for such. But by and large, on a large scale, water wells are the go-to source of water, because we don't have a national system, a complete failure to provide a holistic water infrastructure for Sierra Leone.
According to UNICEF, in 2016, only 63% of Sierra Leoneans had access to safe drinking water. That leaves nearly 3 million of the country's 8 million residents without water. So what's the solution? One very promising idea is solar-powered water pumping. This is a system that utilizes energy generated by solar panels to power water pumps. The Sierra Leone Foundation for New Democracy's preschool, Dovalema, located in Mondema, Sierra Leone, has a powerful solar water pumping system to provide clean drinking water as well as plumbing.
And so now we have water system, solar water pump system, that supplies water. It allows for lifting water up to 55 feet high into those tanks. We have 6,000 liters of those on our site. And so we store water indoors.
As Hindolo explained, this system, and many like it, has a large water tank elevated above the building. During the daytime, the solar energy is used to pump the water up into these tanks. Not only can the water reserves last in case of a system failure, they can distribute water at nighttime, when there's no solar energy for pumping. Despite this success and the common usage of solar power in Sierra Leone, Hindolo said that he's only ever seen one other solar water pump system in the country. To find out more about where the technology is being used, I turned to Wendy Dankoff, a leading expert in the field of solar water pumping.
I'm Wendy Dankoff. I'm based in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I started a wind power and then solar power business in the late 70s. in the late 70s, the photovoltaic components were just not available at all. But in 1980, it began to become available, and I started using it for remote homes, and my remote home clients needed water pumping. So that became a very big challenge that consumed about 20 years of my career to develop ways of using energy more efficiently than usual to lift water out of the ground.
Windy's business assembles and installs solar water pump systems in farms, private properties without access to power grids, and any other client that comes his way. I asked him about the possibilities of solar water pumping in agriculture.
It's already being used. For about the last 5 years, there's been regular sales of systems, even on the private market, to farmers for substantial size irrigation, big pivot systems. In terms of watts, some of them are over 50 kilowatts, even over 100 kilowatts, which are like what you see in major irrigation areas, even in dry places where you have center pivot irrigation running these gigantic things. And some of those are run directly off solar panels now. So that's being done. It's mostly in dry areas where they can maintain typically hours a day of steady pumping.
Windy even has experience installing solar water pumps in developing countries.
Some of these systems are small and portable and easy to put in and can be installed by hand where the needs are for a small village, for example. It's actually easier and less expensive in some cases than putting in an engine to pump water. And they're being used to replace or work alongside hand pumps for drinking water in villages. There's probably over a million solar pumps now of small size for homes and small farms and villages in Africa and Asia.
Solar water pumping is a really great solution to many issues, not the least of which are climate change and water scarcity. So why is this technology struggling to take hold? Windy and Hindelo both agree that cost is a big barrier. In the long run, solar water pumps are less expensive than conventional pumps, as fuel is not an issue, but solar water pumps require a high upfront cost.
Economically, the cost, it's as if you're buying 20 years of fuel right at the beginning. So there's no fuel cost, but you have to spend enough to put in all the solar array and so on. So so the cost, the expense structure is different. Financing is needed a lot of times, and so the whole timing and proportions of the factors is tends to be different from conventional pumping.
There are a lot of challenges for anything dealing with clean energy issues here in Australia. And those challenges are coming from poverty that basically makes folks not to want to either invest or their little labor resources they are getting up as well, or feeding their families or taking care of some investment for the near future.
The path forward seems clear. Wealthy nations and organizations must help to fund solar water pumping projects in developing nations. I'd like to thank the Blake School Environmental Science Program and research support staff for helping source, cite, and fact-check this podcast. I'd also like to thank Britt Gangness and the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, Mary Oldham Hanneman from the University of Minnesota Institute on the Environment, and Blake parent Joseph Barasanzi for their interview support. I'd like to thank Hindelo Pakawa and Windy Dankoff for taking the time to talk to me about climate change solutions. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, leave a review, and check out the other podcasts in our series. Thank you.